that middle interview.
New Jersey is the state where Mr. Steve Brown hails from, and Mr. Steve Brown is a great, extraordinary talent in the rock metal industry. For those of you and those of us that know who Mr. Steve Brown is, he is the guitarist for Trickster, the guitarist for Danger Danger, the legendary Def Leppard, and of course, Eric Martin Band. And nowadays, since a couple years back, with Tokyo Motor Fist. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I am talking about, and we are talking about, Mr. Steve Brown, the tremendous, charismatic, and rock and rolling Steve Brown, hailing straight out of the state of New Jersey, spend some time talking to us here at That Metal Interview Podcast with myself, James. And I would like to remind you guys to subscribe to our YouTube channel and check out our radio station online at jrocksmetalzone.com and check out all the rock, the old rock and the new rock, the old metal and new metal. And as far as our metal podcasts, it's called That Metal Interview Podcast with James, myself. You can check it out, download it, stream it on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, TuneIn, and so on and so forth. So, Mr. Brown gives us an insight and an update on Trickster for all you Trickster fans out there. So, I cannot reveal right now what if it's positive, negative, or whatever. You will have to listen for yourself. I'm sorry. So, I will stop talking. And here is our interview with the great Steve Brown. Enjoy. Tokyo Motor Fist, a new single, Around Midnight Frontiers. Great jam. Talk to us about that.
Thanks, man. Yeah, well, that's the second single off the upcoming Lions record from Tokyo Motor Fist. And Around Midnight is a fun song. It's about escaping your boring life, I guess, you know, and going on a crazy rock and roll adventure. And definitely a song that's inspired by one of my favorite bands, Cheap Trick. It's kind of got a Cheap Trick Def Leppard vibe to it, which I love. And, you know, no real, you know, we're not trying to change the world with the subject matter, but it's definitely a song about escapism and optimism and hope and fun, most of all. And that's what the song is about. And I just love it. I think Ted, the whole band, sounds phenomenal on it. Bruno Ravel, who helped me mix the record, did a tremendous job mixing the song. So, I mean, it's definitely right up there. It's a true representation of what Tokyo Motor Fist is musically.
Well, you guys did a great job. How about the album title, Lions? Why Lions? Where'd that come from?
Lions came, you know, I'm a huge animal lover, all things great white sharks, lions, dinosaurs. I've always been fascinated with those animals. So lions, to me, it's the king of the, you know, kings of the jungle. One of the most beautiful animals. I love cats. I'm a cat person. But yeah, the title came about, you know, it's the title of the record. And it's also the title song of the record. And it's a bigger meaning than just an animal. What it means is, I think it brings on the human element that in these crazy messed up times that we're in right now, we need people to be more like lions and not like sheep. Yeah. And that's the message of the record. You know, it's kind of always the way I live my life. I certainly tell people, you know, I'm a lion in the way I live my life, the way I take care of my family. I'm the king of my world. Anybody that knows me, you know, I'm a born leader. And that's always the way when I started Trickster, I was the leader and the, you know, creative force and the business force behind Trickster. And, you know, my joke to everybody is, though I'm a part-time Def Leppard, I'm always a full-time lion in the way I live my life. So Nice. That's it. And, you know, the song Lions is a very, very important song for me because to me, it's my, I like to tell people, it's my Bohemian Rhapsody. I'd never been this sort of advantageous and this sort of bold in my songwriting, you know, to have a song that was so big. And again, it's got strings, live string, real strings on it, violin. It's got huge vocals. It's got, the song has probably 15 chords in it, which is a first for me. I don't think I ever wrote a song with that many chord changes in it. Yeah. And it was very much influenced by my time, of course, playing with Def Leppard over the last 7-8 years. And then most importantly, playing the last 5 years, filling in guitar with the great Dennis DeYoung, the former singer of Styx. He's become a huge influence on me. And playing the best of times with Styx every night over the last couple of years, when I would play with him, I always said to myself, man, I gotta write a song kind of like this. And you know, it was very much directly influenced by playing with Dennis DeYoung and Def Leppard. And what's also cool about the record in general is on Lions, I play more keyboards on this record, on this CD, than I have on any other release that I've ever done in my life. So it's very much got a, you know, the Eddie Van Halen 1984 5150 OU812 guitar player playing a lot of keyboards. And it was very experimental for me, and I just loved it. But on Lions, again, the meaning of the song, it couldn't be more true and more what I think the world needs right now, because we all need to step up a little bit and be leaders, whether it's in our own family or be able to try, you know, that we could all change the world for the better. And I think the ultimate message on the record is positivity. And you know, whether it's the song Young Blood, which has a message that I wrote for my daughters and for my nephews and for the youth of the world, that they have the power, they have the world in the palm of their hands, and it's up to them to make every moment in their lives count.
I know you've talked about this before, on how Tokyo Motor Fist came together in Frontiers. For the people that don't know, can you talk about that, how that came about?
Yeah, man. Tokyo Motor Fist came about, well, first and foremost, it came about through my good friend Serafino and the guys at Frontiers Records. You know, they're known for putting these so-called supergroups together. Yes. And I think it was kind of a knee-jerk reaction for Frontiers after my good friend Bruno Ravel started the Defiance with Paul Lane and Rob Marcello, which was kind of an offshoot of Danger Danger. It made absolute sense. And they also know the history with Ted and I. Ted Poley and I grew up a couple towns apart from each other in northern New Jersey. Ted was from Ramsey, New Jersey. I'm from Paramus, New Jersey, which is, you know, a couple towns away. So I'd known Ted. Ted's, probably 8 years older than I am. But I'd known Ted since I was a little kid when he was, before he was in Danger Danger. He was the drummer in this great New Jersey band called Prophet. And I was a huge fan of Prophet. They had a singer who was a dear friend of mine, Dean Fasano, was the singer in Prophet, who went on that I co-wrote a bunch of Trickster hits with. And Dean, you know, has since passed, but Ted and I have known each other. I've known Ted probably since I was 13 years old. So I remember when Ted got the gig with Danger Danger and he played me the original Danger Danger demos. I said, man, you guys are going to be huge. This stuff is awesome. And so fast forward to 2015, 2016, it was a logical thing that we finally play together. And you know, when they asked us, well, who else would you get in the band? It was very easy to get Chuck Berge and Greg Smith because I had been doing some cover band stuff with those guys. Chuck and I were doing a Van Halen tribute band. Chuck lives in the next town over from me in West Milford, New Jersey here. And so it was just, it all kind of fell together very organically. And it's been a tremendous fit because we all have the same East Coast crazy sense of humor. We have a great work ethic. ethic together, and the music speaks for itself. That, you know, I write these songs and produce these songs, but whatever I give Chuck, Ted, or Greg, they all take it, take whatever parts I give them, and they take my music to the next level, and that's what it's about. And the other cool thing is that we're one of these super groups on Frontiers that actually plays gigs. We're not some fake studio band that never even met each other. Yep. We actually work together. We rehearse together. We just did in February. We had two fantastic shows on the Monsters of Rock cruise. And that goes to show you that it really is a genuine, real rock and roll band. And I love being in Tokyo Motor Fest.
Absolutely, man. You guys are great. Great stuff. Now let's go back in time. Let's say to when you were 8 years old. I've seen an interview where you talk about going on stage with Ray Gillen, rest in peace. You think that was the beginning of your musical career?
Well, I wouldn't say it was the beginning, because I had already been playing guitar for about 4 or 5 years at that point. But that was, yeah, that was my first time ever on stage performing with a band. And what the story was Ray was, you know, when I was a little kid, Ray was in this cover band called Harlot, which was a New Jersey cover band. They used to do a ton of Van Halen, Black Sabbath, Dio, all the great music of the time. And the guitar player in the band, Ross Barata, was my guitar teacher at the time. So I was invited to go see them by the parents of the drummer. The drummer of the band was George Pagonis, and his parents invited me and my friend Mike Payne to go see the show in February of 1984. And I had no idea they were going to bring me up on stage, but they brought me up on stage, and that was it. But I will tell you, it wasn't the time that I knew that I was going to start, that music was going to be my calling, but I certainly got that buzz and that adrenaline rush where I said, I want to do this more. And shortly, probably 2 weeks after I did that performance playing You Really Got Me with Ray Gillen and Harlot, 2 weeks later, an early version of Trickster did their first show at my middle school, at Eastbrook Middle School in Paramus, New Jersey, where my father was the principal. So it was right after that that sort of Trickster madness started. You know, before we were Trickster, I had the band name was called Raid, R-A-D-E. But shortly after, we only did one gig as Raid, and then Mark Scott joined the band in February, and then in July of 1984 is when we did the first official Trickster show in Paramus, New Jersey, at the Paramus Bandshell. But the Ray Gillen, you know, that moment being up on stage in a rock club with the, you know, 120 decibels of music behind me, it was life changing for me.
Wow, what an experience! Now that we're on the Trickster subject, I'm a big fan, of course. I love One in a Million. You know, can you give us fans an update on Trickster?
There really is no update. I mean, I'll be honest and say that, you know, one half the band, we're a fragmented band at the moment. Some internal business stuff went on, which I don't really want to talk about now. But yeah, the band, we're kind of shut down. We're really not working. Pete's got a day job and he's taking care of his kids. So there's really no, you know, no band live stuff in the works, sadly. You know, we're celebrating our 30th anniversary of the first album right now. I'm in the process of working with a record company and also with Universal Music in getting the rights and the master tapes back from the first Trickster record to be able to do a properly licensed 30th anniversary remix and remastered deluxe edition vinyl of the first record. So that there's a lot of behind the scenes Trickster stuff that I'm doing as far as transferring old demos and getting the material ready for an unbelievable deluxe edition if the powers that be allow us to do that. But regarding Pete and Gus, there's nothing really going on there, you know, and really the beef between the band is with Mark Scott. You know, he's kind of on the shit list right now, and I don't know if that's ever going to get repaired. So, you know, let's just enjoy the fact that PJ and I are out there making great music. I'm finishing up mixing PJ's new solo CD right now. I have the new Tokyo Motor Fist record coming out. PJ and I play with Eric Martin from Mr. Big. We do this Mr. Big trickster type show with Eric, which I sing the trickster songs and fans are loving it. So, you know, there's always a lot going on, but I don't foresee the original trickster band playing anytime soon.
Awesome. Thanks for the update. You mentioned you're a Def Leppard part-timer. How did that come about? For people that don't know, how did you hook up with the Def Leppard people?
Well, the Def Leppard story goes back 30 plus years ago, back in 1987, the first time I met those guys, when I became friends with Phil Collin, Joe Elliott, Sab Savage, and Rick Allen. When I met those guys as a little kid, their first manager, Peter Mensch, who manages Metallica and the Red Hot Chili Peppers, he was the guy who helped Trickster out back in the day. So his first order of business was to introduce us and myself to the Def Leppard guys, and Phil and I hit it off immediately, being guitar players, and we have a friendship that has lasted 32 something years. And Phil has always been like a big brother to me, and he's always been a huge supporter of anything I do musically. He's a big fan of what I do, the post-Trickster stuff that I did with Throwing Rocks, 40-Foot Ringo, Stereo Fallout. Him and Joe were huge 40-Foot Ringo fans, which was a band that PJ and I had in the late 90s, early 2000s, that came close to a couple record deals. But that's how that happened. And when Vivian got diagnosed with cancer, you know, Phil was like, hey, I got the guy. Steve's the guy. He's got a great voice. And that's the biggest reason why I got the Def Leppard gig, was because I could sing all of those parts. I could sing all those high Mutt Lang parts and cover all the stuff that Vivian does. And I could also cover Phil's parts because I filled in for Phil Collin in 2018. And I could pretty much fill in for all the guys if need be. You know, I know the material so well inside and out. Like Joe always tells me, oh, Steve, you know all the Mutt bits, you know, because I could sing all those parts that they don't really do live, but I know those things. And, you know, just an honor to play with them. And those guys are like family to me. So really, you know, that's the most important thing when you're coming into a band as an outsider. They want somebody that they know already. They know they can trust. I'm not some crazy party animal, you know, that's going to be walking in with strippers on my arm, you know what I mean? So it was a very easy fit, and it was a seamless transition, whether I was filling in for Vivian or filling in for Phil. It didn't really look and sound like a fill-in, that's for sure.
I saw that. When I saw that, I was like, wow, I mean, this guy just fits in. Steve Brown fits in perfectly. I mean, I saw you fit in for Phil and for Vivian at different times, and that was just perfect, man. I mean, it's seamless, as you said it, you know.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, again, and that also comes from 30 plus years of seeing them. I go to see them all the time when they're on the East Coast, and I know the show inside and out. And I know, you know, with them, it's very much different playing with Def Leppard than it is being in Trickster. I'm not doing my Eddie Van Halen scissor kicks with Def Leppard. You know, you have to know what kind of gig you're getting into and perform accordingly. And that's what I do. You know, Def Leppard is much more of a, you know, guitar down low, slow moving, you know, and that's kind of the groove, throwing the cool rock star poses and whatnot. Very different to what I do with Trickster. And the same goes when I play with Dennis DeYoung. You know, you have to learn to perform accordingly to whatever gig you're in. And that's something that I've learned to do very, very well, and I love to do it.
Here's a different question. What's your best gig and what's your worst gig?
Oh, my best gig. Jeez. I mean, there are too many best gigs for me. I mean, I will say, you know, the first time that Trickster played the Meadowlands Arena in New Jersey, our hometown arena, on the Scorpions tour of the night. We got our gold records. That is certainly one night that is near and dear to my heart. But there are so many. I mean, I got to get, you know, look, my first time playing with Def Leppard in front of 90,000 people at the iconic Wembley Stadium in the UK.
Wow.
That was pretty unbelievable. Not only was that my first time playing with Def Leppard, that was my first time ever in England. So that's extra special to me. There are just so many. I mean, my worst gig, geez.
Right.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
I think my worst gig is, I got to say, and this happened to me probably 5 years ago, was after doing a couple Def Leppard shows, playing in front of 20,000 people a night in sold-out arenas or amphitheaters, I had to come home and play a Tuesday night acoustic gig in front of 10 people. And that was kind of one of those moments where I looked at myself in the mirror and said, man, you got to stop doing these cover gigs. And it kind of, it really soured me on it. And it just was one of those ones where it was kind of depressing, you know, where you just come off playing in front of 20,000 people with Def Leppard, and then I come home and play some restaurant in front of 10 people. And I said, man, there's got to be a better way for me to make money than doing this.
Wow. What a change. And wow.
Yeah, but you know, that's, you know what, man, that's a lot of guys' realities, you know. And for myself, PJ, you know, we still do cover gigs once in a while, and we do what we have to do to feed our family. You know, when you're not a full partner of a band like Def Leppard or being Dennis DeYoung's band, you got to make money as a professional musician. So for me, you know, whether it's giving guitar lessons, whether it's producing, mixing other people's records, you know, doing music for film and TV, that's what I do, and I love to do it. But you know, playing the Tuesday night solo acoustic gigs at a restaurant in front of 10 people, I don't do that anymore, that's for sure.
Is there a message you want to send your fans, the Steve Brown fans, the Trickster, Tokyo Motor Fist fans?
Of course I do. Yeah, my message to the fans is thank you for the over 30 years of love and support. I'm on my 30th year right now as being a national act, 30 years since the first Trickster album came out. And luckily, I've been able to live my life as a rock and roll musician. And it's all because of my fans out there, my friends all around the world, all you listeners. Keep on supporting all the bands. Buy the records. Buy the, download the music. Buy the t-shirts. Buy the, you know, support, buy tickets, and that's how we can keep doing this. So thanks to guys like you, Jimmy, and everybody out there for all of the support, for keeping rock and roll alive and well. I know some people like to say that rock and roll is dead, but we all know that's a bunch of bullshit. Rock and roll is alive and well, and thank you from the bottom of my heart for always supporting everything that Steve Brown does. I love you, and I'll see you soon. And everybody, stay healthy, stay smart, stay safe, and be a lion, be a champion, be a winner, go out and make things happen in life. God bless you.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for spending time with us. We're looking forward to seeing you on the road maybe one day, and we're going to check out Lions soon.
All right, man. Well, we miss you guys, and hopefully we'll be out in Texas soon.
Was that a great interview and a great conversation or what? We appreciate Mr. Steve Brown's time from his busy, busy schedule in his rock and roll life and in his life of rocking out his fans. On behalf of all your fans, Steve, thank you. Thank you for talking to us on what you have to offer us fans. Thank you. And keep rocking, of course. And for all the Tokyo Motor Fist fans, check it out, download it, stream it, Tokyo Motor Fist, Trickster, Danger, Danger, Ted Poley, Steve Brown, and the rest of the guys, Eric Martin Band, and so forth and so on. And of course, the great, legendary Def Leppard. You can find Mr. Steve Brown live on several YouTube videos with the great Def Leppard. We thank Steve. We thank you guys, all the listeners, for that metal interview podcast. Thank you for spending time with us out of all these thousands and thousands of podcasts in the whole world. And don't forget to keep it metal.
That metal interview.